From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast.
Fantasy football returns from the international break. Have you lost your Mo, lost your Joe, or just lost your Mojo? Well, have no fear. Just in time, the official Fantasy Premier League podcast is here with the tips to get you back on top in Game Week 9 and beyond. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, FPL manager. I'm James Richardson. It's been a week off. If you feel like you've lost a little bit of your edge over the international break, in just 30 minutes, we're going to tone that midfield, trim that flabby front, and especially tighten up that rear. Step with me, step with me. Joining us, it's Daniel Story of the enigmatically named Lego Wanderers. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, James.
59 points for you in what history suggests was called Game Week 8. Very good. I got 67 with my team, Hasty Signings FC. Duncan Alexander, you beat that. Two Lionels acquiring 71 points over the course of Game Week 8, which is impressive until you hear what Sam Bonfield got with Besson Alderweireld. Sam?
Yeah, I got 90 last week. Could have been better had I not benched Ollie Watkins with his 13 points.
Yeah.
Gutted.
Ooh. Have you? When was the last time you went into triple figures?
Oh, probably Project Restart, I think I had one, because I had all my chips in hand, but not so far this season.
Daniel, you ever gone triple figures?
It feels a long time. I think I probably have, but it feels like a long, long time ago.
Right. What about you, Duncan?
A couple of times last season, but yeah, I think 71 last time out was my best score of this season so far, which isn't great. And I told the lads that, and that's why I played the wild card. And they've all, you know, a lot of them didn't make
it. Ooh, Duncan's on a wild card. Well, you just had your best score, and now you're wild carding. Why, Duncan?
Well, I always planned to wild card in this international break because I figured that there'd be injuries, there'd be absences, of which there may be more to come over the next few days, and ahead of the kind of traditionally busy Christmas period in the Premier League. So yeah, I took a scalpel to my team. I brought in Harry Kane, brought in Bruno Fernandes. Who would have thought I'd be at this stage of the season and have no Manchester City players, and the only Liverpool player I've got is Diogo Jota. So,
wow, that is surprising.
These are crazy times.
Not least because most fantasy folk are right now planning to bring in Man City players in abundance.
Yes, I haven't really had any all season. I've had Phil Foden, who's done okay. But yeah, I'm still not, you know, the last time they scored more than once in a Premier League game was that game they lost against Leicester back in September. So, you know, their XG per game this season is the lowest ever recorded in the fabled XG era. So they're struggling to create brilliant chances as yet.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see.
I was hearing in last week's show that their fixtures are about to turn, but not quite yet. What's the most left field choice you've got in your wildcard so far?
So alongside Harry Kane up front is Edinson Cavani, because I feel that if you've signed Cavani and he's done okay, obviously scored as a sub last time out, even if you're playing Championship Manager or a real actual football manager, West Brom at home seems like the fixture you'd let him run free and have a start. So I've just got an inkling that, you know, he might, there's quite a lot of sort of midweek fixtures in December, and I think there's going to be quite a lot of rotation. I just fancy Cavani to get quite a few goals over the next few weeks.
All right, well, I mean, sound thinking. Sam and Daniel, what have you got from your international break to-do list to sort out? Do you have to resolve your Mo Salah situation, for example, Daniel?
No, I don't. I've just got Sadio Mane and Andrew Robertson, who does have the yellow flag, but I don't think I can justify a change on that basis. I'm one of those who's already played the wild card and is desperately trying not to avoid the temptation to look back at the pre-wildcard team to double check that it is definitely better than the one I've got now. 59 points was okay, but it was pretty average. And my captains this season have been dreadful across the board. I had Son rather than Kane.
So you don't have any big fires to put out from players coming back with COVID or anything like that? Trent Alexander-Arnold, Doherty, any of these players who have now got flags on them? Mo Salah, the really big name, we'll wait to see how long he's going to be unavailable for. Sam, what about you?
Yeah, so I'm a Salah owner, eagerly awaiting some news from the Egyptian campus as to what's happening with him. I think for me, depending upon how long he's out, I'm probably just going to hold him through this period. I have already made a transfer this week. I don't really want to take a hit. And if he's only going to miss one game week, then I'm quite happy to just bench him for this one and have him come back in for the game after. I think if it's going to be longer than 1 week, though, then you have to start questioning whether you want to have a 12-point £4 million player sat on your bench for that length of time.
Particularly when there's so many attractive midfield options right now that you probably don't already have in your team, whether it's Ziyech or Grealish or any of those other fellas. Anyway, we have a deadline, of course, approaching us. It's 11 a.m. UK time this Saturday morning. So what say we get cracking with the Game Week 9 fixtures? Game Week 9, some absolutely huge games coming up here, both in, you know, Premier League terms, but also fancy Premier League terms. Daniel, what have you got your eye on?
I've gone for probably the biggest, which is Tottenham-Manchester City. I feel like maybe in seasons past, games between big six teams would have persuaded managers to take one or two of those players out. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. You know, we've seen such odd results and open games generally in the Premier League, you know, Tottenham winning 6-1 at Manchester United, for example, that I think you can just carry on as if it was a normal fixture. I think these games are almost fixture proof now. I would back Harry Kane to score as many goals against Manchester City at the moment as I would against Wolves or Southampton or Leicester or Everton. So I think keep the faith with those players. The one player I did want to mention, because I got laughed at for talking him up a few weeks ago, is Ferran Torres, who obviously scored a hat-trick for Spain against Germany in midweek. And I wonder if with Gabriel Jesus playing for Brazil in South America on Tuesday night, whether I wonder if we might see that Ferran Torres false nine plan used again. And if he does play there, he's absolutely cracking value at 6.9 million, I think.
Did we laugh at you, Daniel? Did we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you laughed at me because in hindsight, because it didn't work when I said it. So I'm just going to carry on and say it again.
Excellent.
Not like you've been, you know, stewing on it since.
No. I mean, he has scored this season, but he scores in the Champions League, which is not particularly helpful.
Not for this game, no. Where do you think the points lie with sticking with the Spurs players rather than these Man City assets who, as we mentioned, are about to embark on a very promising schedule after Spurs? They've got Burnley at home, they've got Fulham, West Brom and Newcastle coming up in the next few weeks. I don't know if you've got an eye on one or two City players in particular for that period.
I've got Phil Foden in my team at the moment. Right. And I think, as Duncan says, with the rotation, I think players like that are perfect because he's desperate to play every week. He will generally get half an hour, I think, even if he doesn't start games. But yeah, to reiterate what you've just said, I think this is a brilliant game for attacking assets. I'd be staying well clear of defensive assets at the moment. We know Matt Doherty's a doubt. Eric Dier went off, you know, pulled up in a warm-up for England and kind of struggled through that one. So I don't trust either of these teams to keep clean sheets at the moment. So yeah, I would be all with the attacking assets.
And attacking assets of City like Sterling or Jesus as well?
Sterling, I had him in my team at the start of the season and took him out because he just wasn't delivering. I've got Kane, I've got Son and I've got Foden. I think that's probably enough for me. I might consider take out Son this week with Spurs' fixtures coming up, but we'll see.
Okay. What's anybody else got in this game, or is anybody thinking of making moves for this game?
I've been trying a new strategy this season, which has been to have my captain's armband set and forget on Harry Kane. And it's been there for the last 4 weeks. And I'm currently in a bit of a quandary as to what to do about this. Because obviously, normally, these are the sort of fixtures that you would avoid captaining somebody in. However, I think what you said earlier is right. And what Daniel said earlier is right, in that these are the sort of games where I think there's going to be huge potential for attacking returns from players like Son and Kane and Kevin De Bruyne. Son's made 8 appearances in all competitions against City, 5 goals, 1 assist. Kane's made 9, 2 goals and 2 assists. KDB has had 8 appearances versus Spurs, 3 goals and 5 assists. These are the sort of games where, unlike the likes of Fulham and West Brom who sit deep and try and contain, they will go out to play each other and there will be spaces in behind at the back because the defences, as Daniel said, they're not watertight at the moment. So I think these are the sort of players that you could end up with quite a nice points haul from. So I'm kind of on the fence, really, with what to do at the moment. I'll talk about captaincy later because I'm sure that's going to come up. But I think these are players that you should be holding through this period. And there's a massive movement in the FPL community to sell the likes of Kane and Son. And I'm just not quite on board with that at the moment. I think the fixtures might be difficult, but those are the sort of games where they're going to get a lot of space in behind because the other teams are going to attack as well.
Sam Bonfield and hanging on to Kane's shocker. Duncan.
Well, I've had Son for a bit and he's been all right, although I'm sure, did you say you captained him at West Brom, Daniel, and it backfired? Yeah, me too. But yeah, I agree with Sam there. I think I'd seen nothing to stop Kane's incredible reign of productive terror that he's currently on. I mean, the only thing you could point out is that obviously 7 of his 8 assists in the Premier League have been to Son, which is an incredible kind of combination. But that's 23% of the passes he's played to Son this season have been assists, and that doesn't feel like, you know, hugely sustainable. But even so, we saw even for England against Belgium that, you know, Kane was the one player that just, you know, had that wherewithal, other than Jack Grealish, obviously. But yeah, I think he's set up to have a really good game in this match.
So the message here seems to be it's a big game and hang on to Kane and Son rather than start making moves for Man City players just yet.
You know, this season we've learned a lot about how the fixtures don't necessarily tally with the way the results have been going, but the form has been the thing that we can hang our hats on as FPL managers. So don't just get rid of the form players because they've got a tough fixture coming up. They can easily score in that game.
Sam, where do you see extra value in game week 9?
So I fancy a bit of a look at Wolves versus Southampton. For me, this is a really interesting fixture. Wolves have kept 13 clean sheets throughout 2020. That's more than any other club. At the same time, no side have scored more first half goals than Southampton so far this season with 10. And Southampton have been on a really good run of form. We saw last year that when they had that awful result against Leicester, that Southampton really did bounce back with a vengeance. And we've seen that from them again this season after the result against Spurs back in game week 2, that they've kind of found their feet in the league again. They're currently on their best run under Hasselhoeven ever. So they are in a nice position, I suppose, going into this game.
So which Saints in particular would you... Do you have any Saints players?
I don't. So if you remember, back at the beginning of this season, I had Shea Adams.
Right.
And then decided in my wisdom to anger transfer him out after yet another blank game week. And since then, he scored goals in 3 of his last 4 matches. So I guess I was a bit of a bock to him in the early part of the season, and he's since flourished. And I think with Danny Ings out injured for the next, well, until basically Christmas, we should see Shea Adams kind of grow into that role and become the main man up top for Southampton. They've also had the boost of James Ward-Prowse and Ryan Bertrand being back from their hamstring injuries that they picked up. So Southampton looking in good shape even without Danny Ings, in my view. And I think, you know, we've seen the back lines for both of these clubs have been a bit susceptible, but Southampton have been much, much more solid since game week 2. Wolves, on the other hand, their back line's a bit all over the place right now. They, you know, Roma Saez hasn't had a game in a couple of game weeks. Ait Nouri, who played fantastically in the last couple of weeks, withdrew from France's under-21 squad with an abductor injury, so we don't know if he's going to be available. Connor Cody's currently flagged. So there's defensive weaknesses across that Wolves back line right now. I'm not even sure who's going to get a start in some of those positions. So with that in mind, I think the Southampton boys could be in for a nice afternoon at Molineux.
Okay. Shea Adams, 5.9 million, owned by 4.4%. And he's the most, well, he's certainly among the most consistent forwards in the game over the last 6 game weeks. Only once did he not provide either an assist or a goal. So that's pretty good, isn't it? Alrighty. Duncan, what have you earmarked in terms of this week's fixtures?
It's the Liverpool-Leicester clash on Sunday, which obviously is league leaders against title hopefuls, but probably the other way around as to how you might have imagined it at the start of the season. But yeah, I mean, obviously the big story really is how weak Liverpool's defence is going to be with its ever-increasing list of absences. And they've got to face probably the most effective striker against a big six team the Premier League's ever seen in the form of Jamie Vardy. I was looking at some numbers around Vardy this week. He's actually, you know, people talk about big game players, but Jamie Vardy is a is a scientifically proven big game player. His conversion rate against big six teams is way better than it is against the rest of the league. So it's almost like he feeds off that pressure. So now I'm wondering why I didn't bring Jamie Vardy in with my wild card.
But you can. You can.
Well, I can. I know.
Are you going to, Duncan?
Maybe, but I think Liverpool are a bit like, you know, the second Death Star when it looked like it was all broken, and then, you know, the Emperor said it's fully operational, because, you know, they've gone behind in the last three home games and they've still won all three of them. They've got this kind of ability. And yes, if you take Salah out, as is expected, that could have an impact. But I mean, as I said earlier, I've got Diogo Jota in the team. You know, he's scored in all three of his home games at Anfield in the Premier League. No player in Liverpool's history has ever done that in their first four league games. So, but he, you know, we saw his hat-trick in the Champions League as well. He just looks like his finishing is, you know, as good as it can get at the moment. So, yeah, I think this game has the potential to be a, you know, a high-scoring draw or another sort of Liverpool 3-2 win. If you've got Vardy, I mean, it's like Sam was saying about not getting rid of, you know, form players just because they're playing a tough game. I think Vardy's a great shout for this weekend.
So does that make Klopp Grand Moff Tarkin, is question one. And question two, Sam and Daniel, if you were wildcarding, would you be bringing Vardy in? And are you going to, even though you're not?
No, I won't be bringing Vardy in. The interesting one for me with Liverpool is given, as Duncan says, the breadth and length of that injury list. You know, even Rhys Williams, who pulled out of under-21 duty this week, it's players like Neco Williams, who could be the first ever £3.9 million player I've brought into my fantasy team. Because if these players are going to start for Liverpool, then they're extraordinary value. Because Liverpool are kind of, you know, the big issue this season with them has been the goals they've been conceding, which makes Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson really difficult picks at the price points. It feels a lot easier if they're 3.9 and 4 million, which, you know, got Simikas, Rhys Williams, Neco Williams. They're all incredibly cheap. So that I might look there.
Interesting. Sam, have you got Vardy? Are you bringing him in? Are you worried about not having him?
I think you always worry about not having Vardy if you don't own him. But for me this season, if you take the penalties out of Vardy, he just hasn't had the same level of return that I would want from a player of that money. Now, obviously, the penalties are a big part of the game right now. And so we can't just ignore them. And with an inexperienced back line that we're going to see at Liverpool this weekend, the chances of a Vardy penalty are probably, you know, reasonably high. And I think against that Liverpool team, particularly a Liverpool team that's potentially without Henderson too, and obviously as an FPL asset, Henderson is a non-asset really. But from a Liverpool point of view, he's so important to the way that team plays and to the structure of them that without him there and without the big guys at the back, I think Vardy could have an absolute field day, and they're going to need the likes of Mane and Jota and Firmino, if Salah's not there, to really step up, because there's definitely going to be goals in that game. So not only Vardy could be a real problem for me this weekend.
The other player to mention, if we're talking about Vardy, is Harvey Barnes, who seems to have almost become a strike partner for Jamie Vardy. Before the Leeds game, Brendan Rodgers spoke at length about how, with the space in behind, he genuinely sees them as a front two, because he each get beyond each other. He's obviously down as a midfielder. And he's only 6.9 million. I think that's pretty good value. He got 8 points against Leeds. He got 13 points against Burnley earlier in the season. So he had a bit of a dip after that Burnley game, but I think he's bang back in form.
Leicester's fixtures, by the way, after the trip to Anfield, see them take on Fulham, Sheffield United, and then Brighton and Hove Albion. So although Vardy maybe enjoys the big teams more, those are really appetising games coming up if you're thinking of bringing in some Leicester players. All right. One other thing very briefly to mention from the fixtures is the fact that Everton are A, taking on Fulham, and B, will have Richarlison back in their lineup. Are people hanging on this time to see how well he fits back in? Are you reactivating your Everton assets? Does this change anything for you, or is it a wait and see? Duncan?
Well, I now no longer have any Everton assets, but I would say for people who aren't in the fortunate position I am with a wild card, I don't know if I've mentioned that yet. what Richarlison does is he kind of makes all Everton players a bit better. So I think if you've got Calvert-Lewin, you can expect him to play better and get more chances when Richarlison's in the team, and, you know, so on and so forth. So I think it is actually quite a big a big thing for Everton to get him back. And I think it will benefit the whole team.
All right, then. Well, those are some of the Game Week 9 fixtures. Up next, proper planning prevents poor performance. So we're going to jump on the FPL FDR. The Longview listener proves with us the fixture difficulty rating chart available at fantasy.premierleague.com, where you can arrange the teams in terms of the difficulty of the games they've got coming up, certainly over the next 6 weeks. It's a kind of interesting, quite a useful little span of time on which to do some planning. Aston Villa, who Kelly Summers went big on in last week's show, are very much top of the pile in terms of ease of adversaries. Bottom of the pile are that lot Spurs. Sam, we kind of covered the Kane and Son keep, both keep one or none conundrum. I know you said keep. Daniel and Duncan, are you in the same frame of mind on that?
Yeah, I am. The only fixture that really worries me there is Liverpool away, and even their defence hasn't been watertight. You know, Chelsea and Arsenal, I don't see any reason to be afraid of Harry Kane going into those fixtures. I think he'll probably score.
Kane's got a particularly good record against London sides, and particularly against Arsenal, actually. So,
and against Leicester, of course, who Spurs have got in game week 14. He loves a goal against them. So I think Kane's a definite hold. As an owner of both, I am kind of pondering on whether I need both. I think there's potentially scope for taking Son out and replacing him with one of the other midfielders that have got nice fixtures coming up, and holding on to Kane to keep on board with the Spurs points that are undoubtedly probably still going to come in.
Also, with not desperately attractive fixtures in the next 6 weeks, are Wolves. And also with some reasonably tough-looking games are Chelsea, which makes it interesting that Zouma and Ziyech are the most transferred-in players this game week, and loads of people are piling on Tammy Abraham as well. He's still only 7.2 million percent. His ownership is low, but he's been racking up the numbers in recent weeks. Have you guys been piling on Chelsea players? Sam, what about you?
I am Ben Chilwell now. I think that the way that the defences are going this season, having a couple of those middle price defenders who don't fall into the really, really cheap category, but don't also fall into the really expensive premiums that you get with the likes of Liverpool, is a really good idea, particularly with the likes of Chilwell, who even when the clean sheets go, is likely to get goals and assists from a Chelsea point of view. They're all about the attack right now. And in much the same way that we've just said about Spurs, I think owning Chelsea players right now is a good idea. They're one of the informed sides, and yes, the fixtures are a bit mixed, but the clubs that they have coming up in the next few weeks, the likes of Spurs and Leeds, and even when you look at Everton, defensively, those clubs have been, you know, conceding goals. So nothing to suggest that the attacking players, and even the defensive attacking minded players, can't get something. So yeah, I'm on Chilwell right now. Mm-hmm. I would really, really like to invest a bit more in Chelsea, but that really depends on how quickly I want to lose Son from my FPL team, because that kind of spot could easily become a Chelsea midfielder.
Who would you have, Sam?
I'd go with Ziyech if it was a choice between the Chelsea boys. I think with the news that Pulisic is still not available, and Havertz obviously probably still in isolation following a positive test, we're left with kind of Ziyech, who has been so, so good for them, particularly from an assist point of view in the last couple of weeks.
Duncan, who have you got from Chelsea?
Well, I've had Chilwell all season. Brought in Ziyech a few weeks ago, and as most people have realised, he's pretty good. And I think he, like Sam said, he's so good at set pieces that he makes Kurt Zouma a good option, because Chelsea are being really tight at the back. But also, you know, Zouma's got 3 goals this season already, which is like more than Aubameyang. So, you know, if he can pop up with a goal every few weeks, then that's really going to help. So, yeah, I've got those 3 at the moment.
Strange times we're living in, truly. All right. Well, those are one or two of the teams that have got interesting runs for good and for bad coming their way. Do check out your own, or when you're looking at acquiring a player, it's always good to go and have a look at the FDR, either by just clicking on the little information bar on that player's box in the transfer section, or by just going to the FDR chart. Next up, let's get some answers to this week's question, which was, who do you think will be the highest scoring player in game week 9? All right, this week's tweet from hashtag FPL Pod was, who do you think will be the higher scoring player in game week 9? Which is, it's a huge one and a vital one as well. And it ties in a lot with, I guess, captaincy choices as well. Some of the answers included Nathir, who says, Grealish and Barkley will destroy Brighton. George says, Bruno Fernandes easily. FPL Banger, who hosts the our Bitter Rivals, the FPL Banger podcast, one of our many Bitter Rivals, says Bruno is a good shout, but Timo Werner might actually sneak in a few goals against Newcastle's questionable backline. Lewis comes in on this and says, people keep saying Bruno in and to captain when United are very inconsistent. West Brom have tightened up and we're unlucky to concede against Tottenham. I'm, says Louis, going for Ziyech or Werner. They could both have a big haul. Simon says, bold prediction, it's going to be Aaron Wan-Bissaka, clean sheet, assist and goal. And one more, George B says, got a weird feeling about Martial this week, has to score eventually. That's a great argument for getting a player, has to score one day.
Yeah.
I guess if I was to ask you all, who do you think is going to be the top scoring player in FPL this weekend, that's going to be your captaincy pick, no? Or perhaps it's somebody you simply don't have. So let's have a quick round and see. Sam?
I'm really torn on this one, but I think for me it's Bruno Fernandes, although I do agree with what Lewis just said about, you know, how Man United have been inconsistent, particularly at home, yet to win at home so far this season. And West Brom did play incredibly well against Spurs and they were a lot better defensively. So let's see, but I still feel like that game and Man United's home record so far means that Bruno is going to be well up for that and I can see him doing really well.
So your set and forget routine with Harry Kane, that's being ditched for Fernandes against West Brom?
I don't know yet. I'm really struggling with it this week. I think that the City game, if it was any other game, I'd probably just leave it on Kane. But the Man City game...
You said before, hang on to Kane... Mm.
Confusing.
Sorry, Duncan. I think he'll return for sure. I can't work out between the two of them which one right. I think will return more points.
All right. Well, I'll come back to your captaincy pick in a second or two. But Duncan, who do you think, not necessarily from your own team, but who do you think in the wide world of FPL is going to have the biggest points haul this weekend?
I mean, I'm contractually obliged to say Emi Martinez here is the man who captained him.
Don't tell Levi.
Yeah, well, he did get more points than Salah that week, so who was the real captain? Yeah, I mean, that United fixture does look so tempting because everyone knows this is their worst home start since 1972, but in the same way that Martial has to score at some point, you know, they're going to win a home game, and this very much feels like the point they're going to do. I mean, I've got Cavani set as my vice captain at the moment. I've got a hunch that he's going to score a lot of goals in this game. Could be wildly wrong.
Wow. Do you think this is going to be one where the captaincy pick is going to backfire on a lot of people? Because Bruno Fernandes seems to be by far the most popular option, Daniel.
Well, I'm going slightly more left field. I mean, I can't really get any worse than my captain's picks, but I'm going to be captaining Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Right.
I think the notion of home advantage is almost been eradicated this season. Away wins are up massively. And I think you'd struggle to define Craven Cottage as a difficult place to go anyway. But yeah, I just think Everton could score three off.
The tube links aren't great. I mean,
that's... No. Mm. I think with Richarlison back, I think Everton could score three or four. And I think Calvert-Lewin will score at least two of them.
So are you saying he's going to be the top scoring player?
Yes, two goals and an assist.
Wow.
Wow.
The only thing I would say about Fulham Everton is it's a curious fixture in Premier League history. It's got the highest, if you take both home and away, so at Goodison as well, it's got the highest proportion of home wins of any fixture in Premier League history. Now, as you've just said, home advantage has kind of faded away as a thing, but this basically is the ultimate test of the lack of home advantage. So we'll see.
Wow. Wow. All right. Now, we've kind of dealt with captaincy picks. Daniel, you're going for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Sam, you're going to talk about going for somebody else, but in the end,
probably.
Duncan, who are you going with?
Yeah, I'm going to do a Sam Bonfield and go Kane or Fernandes, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah, TBC. And maybe Jota, actually.
Wow, Jota. Honestly, I think that Liverpool game is one that will either massively backfire and you'll be on here in a couple of weeks going, we'll all say, why did you captain Jota? Or he'll go rioting.
Well, all I can say is after I captained Emi Martinez, I felt a sense of great peace and fulfillment. And honestly, things have been better since then. So I think, you know, forget your so-called set and forget system. I'm just going to randomize it every week, I think.
Okay. Duncan, you're on a wild card, so that's you're going to be busy doing that until 11 a.m. the deadline Saturday morning. Sam, what moves are you going to do this week?
I've actually already done one. I did the thing that we as FPL managers should never do, and I made a transfer ahead of the international break. Because as we saw earlier, you know, my team for game week eight did really well, and what only one player in there let me down, and that was Trent Alexander-Arnold. And of course, at his price, and looking like he was going to take a price drop as well, I just didn't want to lose any more money that had tied up in him. So I came out, bought in Ben Chilwell, who then of course got injured during the England game the other night, although has been back in training for England, and so hopefully will be available this weekend.
Oh, so right. Do you think it's possible that he might be available this weekend, Chilwell?
Yeah, he was back in training for England ahead of the Wednesday evening fixture against Iceland. So hopefully he will be fit and available for Chelsea come the weekend. So I'm not overly concerned about that. And then I just wait for some more news on Salah before deciding whether I'm going to take a -4 or not.
I see. And Daniel, what about you?
I'm torn. I'm either going to take out Heung-min Son for Marcus Rashford if Marcus Rashford is fit. If not, I'm going to take out Patrick Bamford for Ollie Watkins with Villa top of that FDR list.
Why would you take out Patrick Bamford? I'm sure I just listened to a podcast saying about how he was essential to have.
Well, not in my view, I'm afraid. No, they've got Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United next six games. And as I say, Villa have got an incredible run of games. Ollie Watkins is in supreme form.
Right.
He's really taken to life in the top flight. And
why not have both?
I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Harry Kane as my other strikers, and neither of them will be leaving.
How will Patrick feel about being dumped by his former school chum?
Ah, yes. Yeah, I think he'll get over it.
Okay. Did he bully you in the playground or something? Is that what's behind this?
No, he was my younger brother's friend. He was... as unsuccessful a school child as I was, I wasn't bullied by someone 6 years my junior.
Oh, well, can I tell you, Daniel, it happened. Anyway, super. All right, well, that's what we're doing. We don't know if it'll work, but we have high hopes. Whatever you've got planned, our FPL managing friend, make sure you get it done by 11 o'clock this Saturday morning. It does look like being a bold weekend for big point scoring. So best of luck. Any other thoughts before we wrap this up? Sam, Duncan or Daniel?
So we're getting to that point of the season where the fixture congestion suddenly starts to ramp up again as we get nearer to, dare I say it, Christmas. So start to have a little bit of a plan in mind in terms of the players that you think are the ones to own. Have a look at the form, particularly focusing on the ICT index. That's really good for looking at the underlying stats of the players, and that's all available on the official app. So have a look at that. That will give you an understanding of where the informed players are and the ones that are about to get into a really nice run of form, and then get on them before they do.
Okay, so do you have like a wall chart or a calendar with little kind of get Grealish here? Duncan said he'd always planned to play his wild card here, for example. I mean, that's what FPL pros like you, Sam, do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very, very old school with my approach. I have myself a notebook. I make notes in it. I write about the players that I think are coming into nice peaks of form, the ones that are about to go off of it. And in seasons gone by, I'd pay a lot of attention to the fixtures. This year, because it's been so sporadic in terms of where the players are returning points, I've paid less attention to those fixtures and focused a lot more on the players that are in form.
How many pages does Harry Kane have in your notebook? Or does he have his own book with special doodles all over the cover?
There's a little heart with HK in the middle on every single page.
Magnificent. Well, let's see if he lives up to your admiration this weekend as he takes on Man City. It's going to be an exciting one. We will be back next Wednesday to review it all and look forward to game week 10 and beyond as ever. For now, many, many thanks to Sam Bonfield, to Duncan Alexander, to Daniel Story and to you, listener. Best of luck. 11 a.m. is the deadline, as you know, and we'll catch up with you after the weekend. Have a great one.